We are New Life Community Church in Rogers Park, a community church in the city of Chicago, all over the city, for the good of the city. Right now, we are in the middle of our series, The Deets, where we get into the details of what it means to be the church here in Rogers Park, a neighborhood in Chicago. Wherever you're listening, I hope you are blessed by this message.
One of the crazy experiences I have ever had in my life was to go to the Sequoia National Park. Has anybody ever been there? Sequoia National Park? There's a, show that first picture there, Brennan. He like is double managing. So there's these trees that are just massive, okay? It's out in California, and they grow so large that some of them are so big that they've carved tunnels through them. You can drive through them. Like one of them fell over here, you can see. This is one of the trees, okay? These trees are so big, when it's just mind-blowing. It feels like you're stepping back in time to like some Jurassic Park world. I'm waiting for a T-Rex to pop out the whole time, right? These trees can grow up to 300 feet tall. There's a picture of Brooke and I in front of one of them here. This is, I think, the third biggest tree in the world is there. And this is 130 feet in circumference. 130 feet just to go around it. I think it's like 40 feet across. Okay, and it's 275 feet tall. The first branch is 130 feet up. Okay, so imagine like a 13-story building. There's your first branch on this tree, okay? These trees, it's just so mind-blowing seeing these trees. And so if you ever get the chance to go out there, it's like in Northern California, and it's just like, I would love to go back again because it was that crazy. But here's the crazy thing about these trees, okay? The roots of these trees only go into the ground 6 to 12 feet. 6 to 12 feet into the ground. That's how deep the roots are to hold this tree up. And so for comparison's sake, just a 15, 20-foot tree has at least 30-foot roots, right? Like 20 to 30 feet, almost double when this is like 100 times bigger, right? And by the way, this tree is still growing. Like every year it grows like a whole foot outwards or something like that. It's still growing. They think it's 2,500 years old is this one tree, right? And so these trees have 6 to 12 feet roots. And so you wonder, how do they not fall over? Earthquakes, storms, a person pushing on it. Like it's just like not that big of roots, right? Like for it to hold itself up. But they found out, unlike a lot of other trees, these trees grow in a grove together where all their roots lace together. They may be shallow, but they connect to each other like hands reaching out. And so when there's a storm or an earthquake, they hold on to each other and it keeps them from falling. And that's why this tree can be here for 2,500 years and still has not fallen down. Is that not crazy? So that has something to do with the day, I'll tell you in a minute, but you're joining us for our series called The Deets. Okay, this is a momentous occasion because as we've already talked about, you're learning some hip language, telling you how the deets is, it means the details. So if you're like, this is your first time, you're like, what is this? The deets means the details. We're giving you the details on what it means to be the church here in Rogers Park. Very unique area of Chicago. I've said this every week, but I'll say it again. There's like 60,000 people in this neighborhood and 60 different languages spoken. And it's crammed into like a square mile. It's just this very unique area in Chicago, in the world, right? And so not only are we wanting to understand what does it mean to be the church, but what does it mean to be the church here? Here in Rogers Park, a very unique area. So as an elder team over the last year, we prayed over, we thought over, like, man, what does it mean to be the church here? And we came up with 10 values, and we thought, hey, let's preach through those. Let's communicate those to you. We're going to have them on postcards to give out. And like, I think next week probably they'll be ready, as well as some sheets, because we came up with like a paragraph for every one we're going to look at today, and like tons of scriptures. You're wondering, like, where did they get these from? They're just coming out of their head. Now we're like, man, we're looking at the Bible. We're seeing, what does the Bible say? So if you're jumping in with us today, my name is Galen. I'm a pastor here, New Life Community Church. I'm excited because today we get to talk about something that is just like those sequoia trees. We get to talk about community, about doing life together, and about interdependence. So we're going to get into that a little bit more. So far, we've covered several values: commitment to the Bible, relationship with God, walking in the Spirit, discipleship, spiritual disciplines. And if you haven't heard those yet, I would definitely recommend going back and checking them out. They're on our app and on our website. You can listen to them and get all of that knowledge downloaded in your head. But today, we are going to start off with core value number 6, which is life together. So I want you guys to read this with me. I know this is like the one reason you like hate coming here. I don't want to talk or say anything. Well, Inyas started this, so you can blame him. And we're just going to read this together, and I want you to read it with me. So let's read this. We believe that God has created us to live in community and to be interdependent upon each other. We are all members of the body of Christ, His church, and we will not survive or flourish on our own. This communal life is exemplified in the being of God, who is eternally Trinitarian, and then passed on to us because we are created in His image. God's design is for us to be a family that also cares for each other as we live life together, caring for emotional, physical, and spiritual health. This is also God's plan to care for those of the body who are hurting or in need. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I've probably told you this a million times, but if this is your first time around the block here at Rogers Park, then I want to tell you about this crazy part about God, this God that created the world. This thing that I feel like as Christians we try to avoid because it's so confusing. This thing that God is three but also one. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Have you avoided that before? Like, so you're like, what's up with that, right? Like, we worship three gods. No, we worship one God. Well, why is it three? It's really confusing, right? Forever, I didn't really understand this. And I was like, what is with this? Why is this a part of our faith? And, you know, you talk about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Three in one. How can something be three things but one at the same time? And, you know, as I started to study into it and just to see, like, hey, it kind of makes sense to me that God would not make sense to me. Right? If there's a God that creates everything by speaking, is that someone that I'm going to understand just like right away? You know, is it someone that's going to like exactly look like me that will so easily I'll just comprehend and understand? No, it's like we're a little ant and we're trying to understand the world. Like, we're humans, we don't understand. Imagine you're an ant like looking up at the world, right? That's what it's like. So that kind of gives me a little more faith. It builds my trust a little bit because it doesn't make sense to me totally. Because nothing in this world exists like that, where something is three things but also one at the same time. Doesn't make sense to me in my mind. But God, it can make sense. It can be something beyond what I can understand or comprehend. But anyways, this is who God is, always was, always will be. And then Genesis tells us that out of this God, He creates us people in His image. That's what it says. He creates us in His image. He creates us like Him. We have similar things in us. And one of those things is this communal part of who we are. Just think about that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit always existing in community. So our God was always a communal God. He was always in community. He always had a good relationship within Himself. And actually, that's a big reason of why He created us. Because it's like an outflow of who He was, who He is, who He'll always be. He exists in community and wants to expand that. So He creates us so we can be in community with Him, right? And this is where it gets crazy. I mean, this doesn't make sense to some of us, but God actually creates us. He creates us and so that we're meant to live, right, with God. But then He says that it's not good for us to be with just Him, with just God. It's kind of confusing, right? Check out this creation story. It says, bam, God creates fish, and He says it's good, right? Then, bam, God creates the heavens and the stars, and He says that's good. Then bam, God creates the animals and he says, that's good. And then he creates man and says, it's good. And they're all chilling together in perfect harmony. And then God says, it is not good for you to be alone. And this is where some of us would be like, wait a second. He's not alone. He's with God. He's got the fishies and the animals, right? Like, that's how some of us feel, right? Like, I got my dog and God, right? Or my cat. Sorry, cat people. Like, I got my cat and my dog, or my fish and my bowl, and God, and I am good. That's all the community I need. Well, let me tell you, God actually says, no, that's not good. If it's just you and God, just you and your bet, it's not good. Look at Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. It's not good for the man to be alone. And it's so weird to us, because like, hold up. God, he's got you. And God says, no. It's not good for you to just have me. I want you also to have a community of people around you. It probably speaks to some of us because we like being alone. We're like introverted, or maybe we're extroverted, but we don't like people. I don't know. We got all these different things, right? People are messy. We don't like to spend time with them. It's easier to spend time in our room or to hide, you know, have everything Uber-eated to us, you know. And I was like, we were hanging out last weekend with someone. They like got a Starbucks Ubered to them. Just like, wow, that's interesting. Like, needed the coffee and you didn't want to drive for it. So let me tell you something. There is a part of us that needs, and I'm not saying this lightly, that we need each other in order to feel fulfilled. God created us to exist in community, in relationship with one another, and something that scientists are finding out now, right? Like, non-Christians are finding out, psychologists are finding out, that we actually can't survive without human interaction. Right? Like, actually, even children, they will not develop properly if they don't have human interaction. God has created us to be in community, not just for our own good, but for the good of the people all around us. And that's, I talked about at the beginning of that word, interdependent. This word means when you're literally dependent on someone else. Like, you need them. That's what that means. Interdependent, right? Interdependent. You cannot survive without someone else in your life. You can't get anywhere without someone else. Let me tell you something. That's how God created you. And that's why we thought this value was so important. We're made to live in reliance on one another. To hold each other up when the storms hit. When the earthquakes in life hit. When things go crazy. When a pandemic hits. You're able to have holding out to each other. You may be like shallow in the ground, but you've got one another, right? Like, you've got someone strong on the side of you, and we can hold each other up. And that's why that core value, life together, is so important. We see it's a part of who God is. It's a part of his nature. It's a part of how he created us to be. And we're all part of this American culture here, where it literally pushes us to be independent, right? Like, you are valued if you can stand up on your own, right? We honor and memorialize the people who go off on their own into the sunset and, like, you know, built this on their own. No one really recognized that it probably did not happen on their own, right? Like, there was a hidden group of people keeping them up. But let me tell you something. All of us made in God's image, he created us to be interdependent upon one another. And so the first thing I want you to know about life together, interdependence is the key. Interdependence is the key. You see this in the early church. Look with me at Acts. It says this. This is the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. Ooh. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Go back one screen there, Brennan. What does it say right here?
Every day.
Every day? Like, some of you are like, we go over like an hour and 15 minutes. You're like, gotta go, right? Like, this seems to be like a different value on what it means to do life together, right? A little different than just doing the Sunday morning thing. It seems like life was a little bit more interconnected than some of us have gotten used to. Look a couple chapters later. It says this in, further in Acts. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Imagine that. Not only were they like sharing everything, they were selling stuff if they saw someone in need, but also says God's power was working through them, and because of that, no one had need. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Can you imagine that? Like, that's God's power, right? Like, for you to go and sell something and just, like, give it to the church. Like, that means God's power is working pretty mightily, right? Like, for some of us, you're walking down the street, and you got, like, $2 in your pocket, and you're like, no, like, I'm not giving that up, right? So I was like, please help me, I'm hungry. You're like, no, sorry, not today. Let alone sell, like imagine going and selling your car and just giving the money away, right? Or you like, it's a miracle, you get some inheritance money or like a house from somewhere, you go and sell it, you're like, I'm giving it all to the church. I would be like, this is a move of God, you know, because no one would do this. And that's what exemplified the early church. They were doing life together so intimately that they were seen as one. And let me tell you something. It changed the world. It changed the world. A lot of people think, you know, they can compare America to Rome and say, hey, you know, it's because of like sin and ungodliness that Rome fell. I don't know. A lot of historians actually believe that it was because so many people became Christians and the Christian ethic was opposed to Rome. The Roman independence and the idea of glory and of having possessions and building up and conquering and war. All of a sudden comes in these Christians who it's the exact opposite. They believe in loving their enemy. They believe in giving to someone who has need. They believe in peace, caring for the very people that are dying. And within 300 years, says that the Roman emperor himself became a Christian. So this started to transform. And there's only like 100 years later where Rome falls, right? So you see the impact that this was. And this is happening right after Jesus came. The church that turned the world upside down. Let me tell you, that's how we are intended to be. We're meant to do life together that way. As I was thinking about, you know, pictures, some of you are like, can't even imagine a tree that big. So I was like, I'll give you some of you that are like very visually inclined a picture to help you. There's they make these ropes and it's actually three different strands woven together, right? And sometimes you'll have single ropes or whatever, but you know why, I was reading about it, why has this seemed to stand the test of time as being the strongest? They actually unearthed some Egyptian rope from like 3,000 years ago that was like buried, and it was the exact same way that we're doing it today, twisting the rope, the three strands, and there's some like physics to it or whatever, you know, engineering, where they do it like the right certain way, but everyone's like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. That's true. I'll have one of you teachers explain that to me. Anyways, there's something they do, and it's like magic, makes the rope work stronger, and it's lasted for 3,000 years, all right? So if I were to take this single rope and have some very strong people, I had Elijah help me last couple weeks ago, so I'll have him help again, you know. So Elijah, come up here for a second. And, you know, if I were to take this rope and just take one strand out, right, and have Elijah hold on to it on one side, right, and then a very strong person on the other, and they yank, it will probably not break, okay? But let's just say they are both so strong that they can cause this rope to break. Let me tell you why. Thank you, Elijah. That was just to get you up here, you know, encourage you. let's say that it would break. The reason is because every rope has a breaking point, somewhere in the middle where it's weakest or something has happened or it's got like a weak point. So the reason when they wind these together, the different, like, they were saying something about torque. Somebody can correct me later. Something happens where it balances itself out, where all the weak spots don't line up in the same exact spot. So the three ropes are holding each other strong where they're the weakest on the other rope. Does that make sense? And that's how it is when we're doing life together. Some of you are going through a time where it's the lowest point in your life. Maybe emotionally you've been struggling with depression. Maybe you lost your job during this pandemic and you don't know how you're going to financially be able to pay your rent as soon as like they got that thing that's blocking them. And it's like, man, what if that comes up? Am I going to be able to pay my rent? Some of you have lost someone through this pandemic. Some of you have been struggling so hard, and right now you're at your weakest point. And if you're on your own, you're going to break. You're going to snap. But if you're in life together, where you're woven together, right now there's someone in the church where they're feeling strong, where they're feeling connected, where they're feeling God's strength coming through them, where they're being blessed and they can help provide for you. Imagine that. That's what made the church strong. That's what made the church survive through chaos for 2,000 years, was this idea of doing life together, and that when you are weakest, someone in this very room is stronger and able to hold you, and then vice versa. When you get stronger, you then can hold someone who is also weak. How about Jesus? Did he live this way? Talked about this a little bit last week. But when Jesus came down here and lived on this earth, and he was starting out his ministry, he started to call all these people all around him. And let me tell you, these were not the people that you and I would have chosen, okay? Like, these were some crazy people that didn't really know what they were doing, right? They weren't the lead of the day. They were actually more like the losers of the day. The very people that were just like, not anyone that the religious authorities would say had anything to offer. And Jesus is like, hey, I want you. I want you. I want you. Oh, you're a fisherman? Okay, I want you. Oh, you're a tax collector hated by everybody? Perfect. You're leading a rebellion. Great, get over here, right? He makes this whole group. I don't know how they didn't kill each other, right? If you look at them, they're like, literally, they were part of different groups that would have hated each other. I don't know how they didn't kill each other. Jesus probably was like breaking up a lot of fights at first, right? That was like part of his miracle, right? He created this, and they brought all this baggage, all this different stuff, and they started to do life together. Let me tell you, there were some moments where their craziness came out. You know, they like get like insulted or something. They're like, Lord, let's go kill them all, right? Like, can't you bring fire down or something? I heard about that from Moses or something, right? And he's like, whoa, chillax, okay? And I mean, these guys, they were crazy. But get this. They also brought different things. Jesus was a carpenter. He's also the Son of God. So at different points, he's like, fish just come out of the water, right? But he didn't know how to fish, right? So imagine that. I mean, he was still a human. He didn't know how to fish. And so he has all these disciples. I'm sure they ate fish like all the time. It's like half the group is fishermen. So they're like going along, like, we got something we can offer. We'll bring a fish in, right, for lunch, right? Or managing the money. They had different people, like tax collectors, different people that could help take care of the money. There was these different strengths that they brought within community, even in that group, right? The different perspectives, the different things that was brought to the group. And they started to do life together and to build a community that started to change the world. And that's why we call our midweek groups, we gather throughout the middle of the week, we call them life groups. We, you know, it's like some places call them small groups. You'll probably hear that here as well. It's like just a small group of people. But we thought after a while, we're like, you know, we don't want it just to be about the size. We want it to be about doing life together. And that's why it's so important, is being a part of a life group where people know what's going on. Because it's so easy to come in here and leave and not know anyone. Right? Some of you like that. It's great. Right? But we want more than that. We believe the church was meant for more than that. And so we're like, hey, we recognize you've got like 5 minutes to say hi to someone here. What if you were able to spend an hour and a half each week getting to know someone? Where they actually knew what was going on. Where you could tell them, hey, I'm struggling here. Can you pray for me in this? Hey, I did lose my job. I don't know where I'm going to get the money. Is there any, do you have ideas? I mean, I feel like so many people that we've connected sometimes with jobs that have happened through being actually just knowing. So we know that it's happening. We're like, hey, well, I know about this guy. Let's pair you together, right? But different things happen when you get a part of a community and you're able to open up and share. And the saddest thing for me as a pastor is when I find out, hey, someone's been in the hospital for a couple weeks, right? And I didn't know about it. No one knew about it. I'm like, man, like, I wish I would have known. We would have came, we would have prayed for you, we would have been able to help, whatever we would have done. But we didn't know because you're so disconnected from our community. I didn't know. You know, like Renis, and I think, yeah, my dad like almost died from the pandemic and it was in the ICU. I was like, how come you didn't tell me? You know, like, man, this is intense, you know? And some of us are so disconnected, or maybe it's so hard or so unusual to share those things that it's easier just to be dependent. There's a certain part of vulnerability that comes up when you share what's going on in your life, right? And we've gotten isolated through this pandemic. We're online, some of us. Today the Wi-Fi was down, so we couldn't even go online, so people were even more isolated. I mean, it causes us to start relying on ourselves even more. Like, hey, I can find YouTube church, right? Like, that's way better than this meeting inside of school. I can stay at home, sleep in, watch service at like 3 p.m. while eating ice cream. It's just like, that seems so much better, right? It's harder to leave your door, go and interact with someone, and be vulnerable where they, like, you know what's going on in your life. So in order for us to know, to do life together, in order for us to know when you're hurting, we gotta know. We gotta do life together. In order for us to take care of you when you're sick, we gotta know you're sick. In order for us to help you when you're down, we gotta be connected to you. Let me tell you something powerful about these life groups. These are the people that'll be there when you need it. When you're moving out, you lost your job, when you need food, when you're sick, these are the people who will be there for you. I remember when Brooke's dad passed away a couple years ago, and the funeral was 6 hours away. 6 hours away. And she was a part of this like women's life group probably for like a couple months, and it had been a while since she'd been back, but they still drove all that way, the 6 hours, got a hotel and attended the funeral of her dad. And I remember I was doing the funeral, and I got up, and I just look out, and it was like a whole row of like New Life people. And I was just like in shock, because I didn't see them before. I got up on the stage, right? And I was like leading this funeral. I'm like, man, that is life together. People who care so much that they drove here, right? To care for us, just to be there. So the second point that I have is, we gotta be all about that life group life, okay? Thought that would just catch you. We gotta be all about that life group life, okay? And I know this is the last thing some of you want to hear, but let me tell you something. It takes a lot out of us to do this, but we're making it easy this summer. We're making it easy this summer. We've actually paired all of our life groups together, and we're just meeting at Warren Park from 6 to 8 p.m. Okay? 6 to 8 p.m. in Warren Park every Wednesday night. We're like, hey, you know, we recognize it's like been hard, we've gotten isolated. Let's make it super easy. Come to a park, we have free pizza, we have games. Just get connected and get someone so they know your face with a name, right? Like, that'll be huge, right? So we're doing that every Wednesday. I want to let you know, if you have not attended one yet, you are missing out. It's been awesome. It's been awesome. Can I get an amen from those who've been there? Thank you. Yes, you know, right? It's been awesome. I mean, some of you are just like literally obsessed with the volleyball mat we put up. I mean, like, that's been like the best buy we've ever done, right? Like, man, what? Pizza. The pizza. Oh, it's the pizza. Yes, it is great pizza. Probably the highest quality you can get. So I will say no more. If you want to find some of that interdependence, come hang out with us at Warren Park. Interdependence. Start there. Start getting to know some of the people around here. 6 to 8 p.m. at Warren Park. We meet at Western and Pratt. There's that playground right there, right? So if you got young kids or something,
We play on the playground, set up a bunch of stuff, we hang out, people bring chairs, whatever, right? So we're going to do that for a few more weeks, and then we're starting up our life groups again in September. So that'll give you a chance even just to get to know some people. You can meet some people and be like, hey, wouldn't be so bad to hang out with these people every week. Huh, okay, all right, I can make some time for that. So that's core value number 6. Let's go on to core value number 7, which has to do a lot with that first one. It's Monday through Saturday church. Huh? Let's read it together. The church is not confined to a day of the week, a building, or a service. The church is, in fact, the people. God's redeemed people, both as it gathers in large groups, small groups, and as it is spread out throughout the local neighborhood / city. Keep reading it with me. I need your voices. The church, there we go, is just as powerful and potent on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as it is on Sunday. A healthy church and healthy members of a church should seek to be just as committed, active, worshipful, and evangelistic on a weekday as they are on Sunday. The weekdays, this is a long one, Monday through Saturday, are not simply a preparation for Sunday, but are instead the lifeflow of God's redemptive plan to save the lost, grow the faithful, and heal the world. This happens every day of the week and is thus worthy of our equal focus. This is not to diminish Sundays, but instead to raise up the rest of the days to equal focus and importance for the life of the church. Therefore, we believe the ideal situation is when a church service is located within the majority of the church's living proximity so that active church life is able to flourish beyond a Sunday service. Amen. So that's a lot. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. And it has a lot to do with why we do the things we do. Even that last part, right? Like why we call ourselves a community church. We believe that we're not like a commuter church. We're like, hey, come in from all over. And we're like, specifically want to be in this community, reaching this community, most of our congregation, a part of this community, so we can have an impact and do life together, right? So this value spins so much off the other one. It raises this question. What is the church? What is the church? It's a pretty good question. What do people normally think of when they hear the word church? What do you guys think of when you hear the word church?
Building.
The building, right? Look at that. Look at that church. That's a beautiful church, right? Fancy building. You got the cross on the top, right? When you drive by this nice, beautiful building with a cross on the top, you say, wow, what a beautiful
church.
But what does God say is the church?
The people.
The people, right? Why do we call this the church? It's like, maybe it's way easier to make the church the building than the people, right? It's way easier because it helps us limit what it means to be the church. It's a little harder for us because you're like, no, this don't look beautiful, right? Like, you guys do a nice job, whatever you do with all this stuff, but this is not like that, right? We come here not for the building, right? That's kind of how it goes sometimes. So we got a little bit of an advantage meeting in a school. It helps us not to see the building as the church. But I still think that's a part of our DNA a little bit. We've grown up in this where we drive by and say, look at that church. Oh, is there a church around here? Look at that. Right? And God says it's the people. Over the last few thousand years, you know, it's slowly morphed. We've delegated what it means to be the church to being right here. This 1.5 hours. You're part of some churches, 5 hours, whatever it is. You're like, that's why I don't go there, right? And if it goes any longer than an hour and a half, sometimes we're like, oh man, I'm questioning whether this is my church, right? And as we're thinking about this as an elder team, we thought, what would it mean to be a church beyond that? I mean, obviously, the whole day on Sunday, right? Not just this hour and a half. What does it mean to be the church the whole Sunday? What, let alone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? What does it mean? What if we started to be the church as we went to our jobs?
as we went out to dinner with our friends, right? As we sit at home and spend time with the people you live with or you're stuck with, right? As we start to see this, we start to think of this as a way more beautiful picture of what the church is than that, right? A way more beautiful picture. Let me tell you what I'm getting at. We're committed to being a church that goes beyond the Sunday morning. That's what we're committed to. That's what we value. And like some of these values, maybe that's something we need to grow in even more, right? And we value it, but sometimes it's not enough for words, right? Actually, all the time it's not enough for words. We need to actually live it. And that's what that's why we wanted to express this so clearly. We're like, we want to be a church that is known for being beyond Sunday morning, right? We want to be known in our community as a church of people. That's what we want to be known as. Who are seen caring for people, sharing Jesus with people, bringing God's kingdom to Rogers Park. Wouldn't that be beautiful if that was like what we were known for? Right? Like, look at those people. That's a crazy church, right? That's crazy. Those guys are crazy, right? I see in those verses that we read about Acts, right? Every day they're gathering. Every day they're out sharing Jesus. Every day God is adding people to their numbers. Every day they're taking care of each other. That's what I see in the early church. And I love this verse too. Colossians 3. I think I put the wrong verse in. That does not look like the right verse. I'll read it. It says, I wasn't 3, it was 4. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for humans. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Sometimes we think of Sundays, or maybe when we put some money in the offering or something, we think of that's like, here, God, I'm giving you some of mine, right? What if we started to think of it as God is actually the one who owns everything you have, including your time? And that every day of the week is meant to be serving him. Whether you're going to your job, or whether you're picking a movie on Netflix, or whether you're chilling in your room playing a video game, whatever it is, that's meant to be a time that you're serving God. Now, let me tell you straight. God isn't like this, like, killjoy who's like, hey, since you're serving me, like, don't do anything fun or whatever like that, right? Some of us think of that. They're like, well, if God were a part of my life, I would just have to sit and pray the whole time and sit, you know, have nothing or whatever. God isn't like that, right? God is really wanting to be involved in your life so intimately that when you do the things you're doing right now, they start to shift a little bit, right? Some of you go to work and you just get so frustrated or annoyed with your boss, or you're like, you know, cutting little things out, or you don't punch out right when you're done, or whatever it is, right? You're like, you're cutting corners. But when God comes into your life, you start going to work and you start saying, hey, I know my boss is a jerk, but I'm not serving him. Hallelujah. You're like, hey, boss, I brought you a donut, right? Like, what the? And, you know, like, and you start like punching out on time. You start serving God right with your money, right? You start being honest. That's what I mean. Like, God comes in and changes you. Or you're scrolling through the Netflix and you're like, you see those certain titles where you're like, I should probably not watch that, right? But you're like, now God's part of your life. You're like, okay, let's keep scrolling, right? Like, that's what happens. You still may be on Netflix. You still may be going to the same job, but it starts changing you in the way that you represent God there because you're serving him in that moment. You understand what I'm saying? That's what it means to be the Monday through Saturday church. Here's an important distinction that we mentioned in that also. Number 4, this is the last thing I want to share. We're not lowering the expectations, we're raising them. This is something we kind of debated as an elder team. But some of you might be tempted to say like, yeah, Monday through Saturday church, finally I can skip Sunday, right? No. That's not what we're saying. That's what it means. It's actually the opposite. We want to elevate Sunday. This is a beautiful day, right? We get to gather together as God's church. We get to worship. We get to hear God's words. We get to encourage each other. We get to pray together. We get to take communion. We get to experience God's presence. Like, this is a beautiful moment, and it doesn't really happen throughout the week. Sundays are important. They're valuable. But the danger is when we make that mean church. And that's what we want, the distinction, right? We're keeping Sundays elevated because it's a powerful day. But we're raising the other days up a little higher to be in match with that, right? We don't want it to be like Sunday only, Right? We want to love Sunday. We love this time together. It's a time where we grow, where God works. But we want to see that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's what we want. We don't want you to miss that. We don't want to miss it. We're not going to lower that. We're raising everything else to match. So I want to challenge you. You know, some of you are sitting here and maybe you're like, hey, this pandemic's kind of like got me, so I'm just like a little bit further back than I need to be even, right? You know, the brave ones, you're like coming in person, right? Right now. And sometimes it's so easy to lose sight of what it means to be the church, what makes the church so great. That interdependence, community, life together, the Monday through Saturday church. Well, we're still here as the church. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. We love you. We still want you to be connected. That hasn't changed. I want you to know that. It's not a place where you're like, hey, I've like gotten too far back. It's too late, right? No, no, no. We want you to find out what God means when he says it's not good for you to be alone. So maybe start out this week. There's a practical application. Start out by checking out Warm Park Gathering, 6 days. That's like your homework. Like, if you do that, you're like taking a bold step. I know it's a huge step for some of you. But you can just say like, hey, I only came for the pizza. Take a piece, like 10 minutes, you can go. That would be awesome. I would be so encouraged if you came and joined us for that. Or you may come and find out, hey, these people are all right. We can do some volleyball or whatever. I still haven't even joined for that, so maybe you can get me to do that too. Stay for a little bit, even though it's awkward, you know, here after the Sunday service. Maybe it's a little awkward. Don't rush out. Maybe hang out, even if it's awkward. Believe me, people will talk to you. You may find out someone's name. You may even get someone's number. Get to like hang out for a little bit outside of Sunday service. Or you can do a Zoom call, because that's probably whatever. So that's just my encouragement this week. Let's just take a moment. Let's just take a moment. Close your eyes. Let's just reflect. I know that for some of us, this hits us different places. Some of us are really comfortable. Some of us, it's a lot more difficult. So I just want to give you time to reflect. Let God speak to you. Go ahead and close your eyes. Whatever God's saying to you, just sit in that. Talk with him. He's here right now. Let him speak to you.
You have been listening to New Life Community Church in Rogers Park. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. Now go and live a new life.